Hey everybody, happy Friday night. Today is February 16th, 2024. This is Across the Pitch. It's just a two-man gig tonight. It's myself, Mike Barrera, and we got our Bolivian Tom Bogard in the house, Jose Nunez. Jose, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Mike. Just, busy with work, busy with some other stuff with the family, and obviously just continuing this awesome journey of taking on more and more reporting, I guess, for the union. And hopefully people are enjoying it. People are entertained. People are feeling like they're connected with the team in a way, right? I know you and I are not access journalists. We appreciate the access that we're given, but ultimately we can, we don't want to lose it or in any way, shape or form, but we want to provide everybody the best we can. So we are just very happy and hopeful that people are enjoying what we're putting out.
I agree. And for once, we have something fun to talk about. We have a game to talk about.
Yes.
It's exciting. We've been saying for like how long now? We've been talking about these what ifs and these hypotheticals and these loans, which we'll talk about tonight as well. We got two players out the door today, but still, we have a game next week. So, what are your thoughts now? The season's almost here. Just give me those initial butterflies in your belly right now.
It's tough. I don't even know if you can count this. Yes, it is Carson in the background because I have my son who is almost four watching Carson in the background. The way I feel, man, it's tough, right? It's you want to be excited about the game. You want to be excited about the season coming up, but it's also, and I think Kevin Kincaid, which much credit to him, obviously been doing it far longer than you and I have in terms of reporting and covering the team, put it best of like, it's hard to get excited for this in a way. Just the same team, if not even lesser, especially when you think about, we're going to talk about it, Torres leaving and now, Brendan Craig and now Torres departing the squad. It's just very tough to be excited, but I'm also one to give a shot to some of these young guys who are joining. So it's hard to tell, man. I'm so split. I want to believe, but I also know that it's hard to believe if they've tried this climb year after year with the same equipment and hoping to reach the pinnacle.
Well, let's ask a really important question first. Dan, who joins us and says, what are we drinking tonight? Dan, I have a two for one. I got coffee with honey, just black coffee with honey. And then Jose, you kind of put me in the mood for a little Modelo tonight, a little Modelo. So I got a little beer, a little coffee. Somehow that keeps me functioning every single day. So have you? I know you posted online that you were drinking something, weren't you, Jose?
Just some bourbon, big old rock inside of it. I'm trying to get it within the light. Just a nice pour. It's been a long week, everybody. Just work and a lot of family stuff. Just yes, larceny, Dan. So no, it's. I don't know, man. It's tough to get excited, but also the season's here, though it hasn't been that long since I sat in that room for the press conference on December 13th, asking Jim Curtin and Ernst Tanner, like, what are the trades going to look like? What are you going to do about the three guys that came in? And obviously two of them are out. So yeah. It's such an interesting, Dan, be careful. It's Jillian, not Jill. it's an interesting situation that the union find themselves in. So I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. How about yourself? How are you feeling after you've watched and heard from me some of the stuff that has happened and is happening?
So I'm glad Jillian's here because she's a big fashion person myself, or like just like myself. And right now I got a lot of fashion going on. So as you can see, I have the Sons of Ben rain jacket on. I haven't worn it on the show. As you know, I wear a lot of my stuff on the show as much as I can. I haven't worn it yet. So if you guys haven't gotten the Sons of Ben rain jacket, it's pretty nice. I love it. I wear it pretty much every day. Jose, also, we have revamped, thanks to Johnny, by the way, who is in the comments right now. We have revamped our logo. So we have some stickers to hand out. This in the tailgate, very clean stuff. But also, Jose, as you know, I'm a Sons of Ben member, and I just got my Sons of Ben membership kit. And there's Valerie. Valerie, by the way, we have a little surprise for you later. I have a surprise. Jose doesn't know about it yet. I have a surprise for you later. So just a small little thing. But, the Sons of Ben kit came out, right? The members got their stuff. So we got some stickers. We got some patches. We got a pin. I'll show you the scarf in a second. We have little temporary tattoos as well. So just a little cool things in the kit. But the scarf came out really nice. You got the, I'll turn it this way, little Sons of Ben logo. First, you got the snake, right here.
That's the Palomi special, no?
Palomi, I believe, helped design this. Yeah, so if I can kind of go this way, the Sons of Ben. It reminds me very much of the 2019 version of the scarf, the way it's lined on the edge, for those of you who have been around as long as I have as a member. So, Jose, you know, I think you're right. I think a part of me is kind of dreading the, and Dan loves the SOB scarf, so do I. I think the scarf came out great. I, as much as I am kind of iffy on the players situation, always, you know, it's still the fun energy of a new season. You don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know. And the new kits came out, by the way, which we'll discuss very soon as well. So that's when we get to get excited about. So I think overall, I'm just ready to start the season.
Mike, I do have a question for you, though, in terms of that Sons of Ben kit.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody who's listening, watching, find Mike at the tailgate. And this is the challenge. Mm-hmm. Does the temporary sticker, can it be a tramp stamp? You need to try it.
You don't got to tell me twice.
Give it a shot. And if you see Mike at the tailgate, ask him to show you his Sons of Ben tramp stamp. Temporary one.
I'm going to do it. Temporary. It's only for a few, only for a week or so. it's pretty cool. I like that they try to make it different every year. And I actually like this year's, I think, probably the best so far. So, and Jillian says, I love the raincoat. I thought about getting it. Jillian, you got to get it. It's great. It's comfortable. I wear it all the time. Definitely do. Now, Allie brings up a point and says, I feel like we're set for fifth or sixth place finish. Shame, because the kit combo of the season is one of the best I've seen, deserves better. So, you know what? I think let's segue right into it, Jose. Let's segue right into the kit. And now, Valerie, I just want you to prepare yourself here. I need you to keep yourself calm. For me personally, anytime you look at a new kit, you can't just look at it on the table. You have to look at it on top of somebody, on a player. So I went onto the Union's Twitter page and I found Julian Carranza. Beautifully decked out in the Union kit. So Valerie and Jose, calm yourselves right at this point. To me personally, I'm going to tilt this way. To me, I think it looks great. I love the cuff or the blue cuff on the sleeve. I love the kind of snakeskin tire track vibe in the middle. I love this new kit. Jose, how about you?
Yeah, I'm a fan. Though as more kits got revealed over the last couple of days, I would say that this kit is up there. But I've seen better ones that teams have released. I really do appreciate the center stripe coming back, though this picture is not fair because you could put Julian Carranza in a garbage bag and he could probably sell it to you. So there's that. Ultimately, I think it's fine. You know, I think a lot of people were hesitant to accept the center logo in terms of the center shield or whatever you want to call it, the crest of the club in the middle, and then the Adidas logo at the top, which has been sort of a mainstay for Adidas, especially with different competitions that have come and gone. I think Germany over the last year or two has been wearing a center badge like that. I think Puma has done it with Manchester City. I know that for sure. So this kit's absolutely fine. I enjoy it. I do, however, and I mentioned on Twitter, and it's totally an opinion, you know, I commend the creative squad that put this together, the collective, rather. I think it is a wonderful first. It's a wonderful attempt. I think it's beautiful. But I also, you have to criticize Adidas. There is no reason why an authentic kit that has all of the details should cost as much as a car payment for somebody. And then if you get the replica, Mike, you're missing so much detail that it is almost embarrassing, you know, right? Like you're missing the logo, I think, behind the neck. I think you're missing the blue sort of, I don't want to call it piping, but stripes behind the back and some the sleeves also, the color edges on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not ideal, especially when you have $100 difference. It really should not be that difficult to find something.
I'm going to pull up some comments here because one comment in particular actually brings up a great point. So first of all, the crest in the middle bugs me, but it's really solid. Some great comments coming in. Not a huge fan of centralized logo. Ali says, Jillian loves the kit. Dan loves the kit. Pat, hello. How you doing? Happy belated birthday, Pat. I know it was about like last week or so. Oh, Todd's as well is also with us from the free kick. How did I miss that you guys are live? Can you guys recap everything I missed? Todd, it was just Jose actually bragging about you for the last 20 minutes. I had to tell him to stop. It was that bad.
Whoa, Mike.
Yeah.
Bring up Todd's comment again.
Sure.
Whoa, this is new. That's a comment from X.
Oh, he has a little free kick. Oh, yeah, Twitter does comments now. You didn't realize that?
I did not realize that. I keep on telling people, get on Facebook, on YouTube to talk with us. And but now, we're liars. You're making me a liar.
Well, it's new. It's still new. But Valerie brings up a good point. She says the raincoat seems to not fit curvy women. And I want to bring up a point about the new kit. With the crest in the middle.
I thought you were going to say curvy women.
I spoke with one of our female friends, and they said the crest in the middle may not be as appealing visually to the female fans of the union. And I said, well, that's a great point. I don't have that problem, but you know, it's something that people are noticing with the crest kind of being right smack in the middle there.
I must admit, I think my favorite one. And again, I think the unions is absolutely fine or great. Obviously I'm not the most like broad shouldered person, but I feel like the kit would be fine. I'd be intrigued to see how it pulls on the crest right on the chest, right? Because of the not the man spread as you think, but you know, the shoulder spread in terms of how tight it gets across the chest. But if we can bring up a picture, Mike, Orlando City, their 10th years this year, they're celebrating their 10th year. And that kit on the right lighting has a hue of purple with a beautiful brand new logo with the three-headed lion, plus a beautiful Roman numeral 10, X for those that don't know Roman numerals, commemorating the 10th year, which I'm trying to circle back in my mind 5 years ago. I don't think the union did much for the 10th that I can recall. Certainly not a special kit like this. I still think it's a great kit. Don't get me wrong, but this Orlando one is awesome.
I'm going to bring it up in a second. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, if you look at this kit, and Orlando has many more issues in terms of branding. So something that's not quite purple is not the end of the world, especially when their stadium just got the word Inter within it. Obviously, they share Inter Miami and Orlando, sort of the same, a similar fan base or a similar area. But this kit is really fascinating. Though, you know, circling back to the union kit, I wish everybody that is going to the kit release a lot of fun. Though, man, that is such a difficult task to go through in terms of like if you get an authentic, $195 is a lot for a kit. Now, this is what I'm talking about. It has a hue of purple, obviously the purple on the sleeves. And this is I'm guessing the authentic one with all the patching.
Yep.
On the center above the L of Orlando, on top of the A rather, would have a Roman numeral X logo that says the 10th anniversary. So I think this is very sharp. I'm also a big fan that if you want to unbutton that thing, you can a little bit, doesn't do a whole lot, but it ultimately has that illusion of, you know, classy, classic type of look. So to me, that's a winner, though I'd be eager to hear others who are in the chat to share, you know, what their opinions are or who has the best. I know who has the worst.
Who do you? I'm about to bring up my favorite, and I really hate to admit that it's one of my favorites, but I want you to tell me your worst one as I continue to kind of go through this online.
I think the worst that was displayed over the last couple of days has to be Columbus.
Oh, it looks like Charlie Brown.
It is absolutely a Charlie Brown kit, which, you know, it's Ohio, so what can you do? It is what it is, I suppose. But I'm gonna guess which one you like, Mike.
If you haven't seen the Columbus one, literally picture Charlie Brown's shirt.
Yeah.
In a kit. That's quite honestly what it looks like. I'm still saving mine to bring it up so I can overlay onto our screen. So you got to bear with me 1 second here.
I think yours is New York City.
No.
Really?
No.
Is it Red? Actually, it's probably Red Bulls because it's Red Bulls, isn't it?
It's good.
I knew it was Red Bull.
I'm trying to save it on my computer real quick. I'll bring up the comments in a bit, guys. I know you guys are popping off here. I'm sorry. I love it. I love the look. I like the backing. I think the crisscross lines like have this musical vibe to it. I know they just had the hip-hop jersey, so it kind of has that staticky music. I hate that. I love it. But I kind of love it. I'm sorry. I don't like Seattle's. I'm sorry. I don't like Seattle's. But go ahead, Jose.
I don't like the tram stampy New York Red Bulls thing on that New York one.
Apparently, according to you, I like tram stamps. So that's
I just want to see you have one. But hey, all in all, you have to commend Adidas in a way, right? Some of them are great, some of them are not great, some of them are just downright awful. But what I think a lot of people can agree on is that they tried different things. And I feel bad for not a multi-billion dollar company in Adidas, but I feel bad for the different creative groups that got together to create these kids that did not ultimately get to tell the story the way they wanted to when that EA FC leak came out, right? I feel bad. I know two or three people who are or have been part of them, and they say it's an awesome experience to go through it. So for their, you know, years of work to be blasted out because someone pressed the wrong button server side was sort of frustrating. And I just want to say I feel bad. And Valerie brings a fantastic point. It's comical the lengths that folks go to, or marketing folks go to, or through to try to create something out of nothing. If you look at the New England kit, and I sent this image to Jillian, Kyle, and Todd, how the marketing actually talked, how the red dots that go up and down the jersey signify the crates of tea that smashed against the harbor, thus the ripples that came from the Boston Tea parted towards the revolution. It was just like, just say that they're dots. Like, you don't have to give me a history lesson. Just tell me it's dots, or you don't have to pretend. It's okay.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is you want your jerseys or your kits or whatever to have some sort of meaning to the city. I saw some comment as you're talking. I'm not even on the screen right now. I'm kind of going through like the browser of MLS shop and all that stuff to look at these jerseys, but I'm about to pull up the Minnesota jersey right now. The Minnesota jerseys are, I think, might be the favorite across the league. I mean, I like the Red Bulls. I just mentioned them, but I think Dan in the comments, I just mentioned that it was the Red Bulls jersey. He's Minnesota jersey rather. And I agree. And I'll bring that up in a second, but I get it. They want to find some sort of symbolism behind it to make it feel more connected. You know what's actually funny? I saw Will Ferrell release the like a little teaser for the LAFC jersey, and somebody mentioned it reminded them of the Green Galaxy jersey, which I agree with. I actually kind of thought that too. I was like, it looks like the Galaxy jersey from before.
A little bit. A little bit.
I'm gonna put this up in a second, but now I saw Eric's comment again, as I'm saving stuff and not actually reading the comments. I saw Eric's comment earlier saying he's worried that this is kind of the highlight of the season, that perhaps the kit is kind of what we have to look forward to this year. Yeah, are you as pessimistic as Eric, as our buddy Eric?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think there's that saying, right, of like, you know, do the same thing over and over again. You know, it's sort of insanity. And then how do you expect different results with it all? And I think that's valid, but you also have to commend, like, and I know this is a line that Jim drops over and over again, and I'm not here to defend them or put them on a pedestal, but like, they have been the leaders in points over the past 5 years with what they have been doing. Yeah, that is sharp. Yeah,
that is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, you know, for them to suddenly change and do something different, it's just not going to happen, especially when, and I have no information, but I'm just inferring here. It's tough to see how the Union could pull off a $9 million signing when they just built brick and mortar outside of the stadium with those beautiful soccer fields that are there, as well as the facility that's coming up. They are just tied, I think. They are just tied right now in terms of spending because they have to recoup some money from that. So it's tough, and this is just me inferring again, like, I just don't see where the money would come from outside of sales. And I don't think we talked about it since, you know, the window closed, but, you know, Julian Carranza is probably going to sign a contract predated to start in January or get traded for pennies in whatever the secondary window or the summer window, I should say, for clubs on July 1. So it's tough to see where the Union can scrounge up the money to do something like that right now. And yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I don't think I'm as pessimistic as Eric, though. I probably just sounded like, you know, we're ready for a funeral for the season.
Well, I mean, let's talk about some of the moves we make. And Todd, you bring up a good point. That is last year. I have the other one on the way. Just bear with me here. As we talk about that, I do think that we have to discuss the depth that has left this team with Torres being gone and now Brandon Craig officially gone with El Paso. So you put out the news earlier this morning, I believe, about Joaquin Torres. Let's talk about him first.
Is the Brandon Craig loan done or not done?
Oh, yeah. Let's put a caveat to that. According to MLS, it is approved for MLS. According to El Paso, it is still pending league and federal approval. What federal approval means, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's something to do with his age or across state lines. I have no idea.
He's 19.
But yeah, according to their sources. So when we asked somebody from the MLS side, they said, we don't know the rules of USL to that level. There might be something still pending for them. But for MLS side, it is 100% approved for them. So again, that's kind of the one caveat with the Brandon Craig loan. But let's start with Torres. I think he was kind of possibly the more impact player of the two. What were your thoughts on his official departure? And can you share some of the notes from your post earlier today?
Yeah, so the way this unfolded was really interesting. I was actually finishing up dinner with the kids and someone reached out to me that is reliable and said, hey, just heard this from someone within the Chilean team, Universidad Católica out in Chile. They said, hey, someone from the team just told me this, and I know you're a Philadelphia guy. Do you know anything about this? So then that got my engine going and, you know, moving and shaking and whatever. So reached out to three other people. Another two went ahead and said something that, like, yeah, it's happening. And lo and behold, you know, then you see reports from Chilean newspaper saying that it's done, mm-hmm. that it's alone through 2024 or the entirety of 2024. I had it, and Mike, you know this because I shared it with you, but we mm-hmm. actually had, I had it pre-written and Mike had reviewed it yesterday at around, was it 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, around there.
It was about 8 o'clock at night, but I didn't post it since I wanted to run it through the right channels and some other stuff that I have to do to make sure that I'm being courteous and doing my part. But having had two sources at the time of writing, a third one overnight, this morning, I just felt absolutely comfortable with it. And of course, we saw some more reporting from some other folks or faces. The guy from the Inquirer certainly posted about it and some other folks. So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting move. And I think more than anything clarifies that last year's transfers were an absolute failure, right? With Perea and now Torres gone, but Damian Lowe being the only one. So though in baseball, batting 300 makes you an all-star. I don't think that applies to soccer.
Yeah.
But I'll turn it over to you. What did you think about it?
So I'm going to bring up this comment here from Allie, and I'll show you guys the Minnesota jersey in a second. I know I messed up that. I apologize. It's a Friday night. Bear with me here. So Ali says Torres will be the, you know, he'll be basically gone. Rafael steps up. Craig is gone. And then we have Macania step up and Craig didn't play anyway. And I want to kind of touch on that in terms of what the Kincaid article posts, as well as kind of our projection for this year. Yes, we didn't really add anybody significant. And I think the Union are banking heavily on players like Rafael, Macania, Bueno, clearly Jack McGlynn. You could argue Leon Flock, Quinn Sullivan. Dare I say the great man from Paoli himself, Chris Donovan. I think they are kind of looking as last year as that earning of the stripes for these young players. Quinn Sullivan, yeah, Dan, I love Quinn. I hope he's having a big year this year. I think they're kind of saying, okay, last year those young players that we had kind of developed into their – they got some veteran status now. And now, although we haven't added anybody significant, yes, I guess you could say Kai Wagner and Bedoya coming back as a significant one, they're just kind of saying, well, their experience is now greater and they can kind of take it to the next level. Also, for what it's worth, I mean, you could argue Baribo is basically like a new player. I mean, we barely saw him last year. We can't say that he's been with us for anything significant. I mean, how many minutes did he play, Jose? I mean, a minimal amount. We really don't know what he can do.
I don't even think he's played two matches worth of time, let alone one. I could be wrong. Folks in the chat, and this is why we love doing it live,
yeah,
take us to task. gave us information. I don't think Ty Bariba has played more than two matches. I don't think he's played more than 180 minutes last year.
No. And real quick, Jose, I'm just sorry. This is the jersey. My apologies, everybody. It's awesome. They're both awesome. They're both great. Anyway, I corrected myself there. So Eric's point here, I'm going to bring up his comment as well in a second. You're further proving my point. Spend little and you need to hit on every money ball target you have. That on top of rookies taking steps forward that have almost zero guarantee of happening. Can I use Eric's point to segue into your other post from this afternoon regarding scouting? Can you want to talk about that? Because I think it's a good point that we should discuss as well, since we're talking about Moneyball and the development of players. Go ahead, Jose.
Yeah, earlier today I posted as well. I had been sitting on this information for maybe, I don't know, Mike, you tend to review. I tend to share my stuff with you. I know I share it with other people for like, hey, like, how does the copy sound? Does it read well? Is it coherent? Right. Any thoughts, additions, et cetera. I think I sat on this. You saw this a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when I heard about this. But Roberto Jimenez, who has been the head of scouting for the academy, is departing. He, as my understanding, as I'm told by sources, is that he's joining U.S. Soccer, which is an awesome step. It's an incredible vote of confidence in the work that the union have done or that he has done. And hopefully there's some sort of transition period that makes sense to share that knowledge or whatever. But, you know, it's just another academy piece that's moving. And it's interesting that it's happening all in such quick succession, though. You cannot fault the man for wanting to make a move to U.S. Soccer. Think about what's around the corner in 2026, right? So it's mm-hmm. it's a very good time, once in a lifetime, frankly, for a lot of people, that they can be part of a host nation's federation for a World Cup, whether it's scouting or coaching or Olympics, for example. Like, it is such a fascinating time to do it. So yeah, we had been sitting on that information for a little bit, but it felt right as I heard from a fourth person earlier this week that this was happening. So I just wanted to make sure to share it with folks and, you know, congratulate Roberto. He's done great over the past 4 years, 4.5 years. I can't remember exactly how long, but
yeah,
it just makes you wonder, right? Where does the replacement come from, right? Is it from within? Right. Is it from outside? And if so, who? Do they have the same type of talent or eye for talent, I should say? And I think when people, I don't think people realize that having eye for talent means recognizing when the talent's good, but also recognizing when the talent is not good anymore, right? When it's time to discard talent.
Or not good enough. I mean, how many times you see a college player's highlight reel and they say, oh my God, he's going to transition great into the NBA or the NFL or whatever it might be. And you look at the college, listen, I'm a big college basketball guy. We all know this, right? How many times do you see college centers like Tyler Hansbrough, for example, thrive in college basketball, but he just doesn't have the size or skill set to transition to the NBA? It happens all the time. To your point, having the eye for talent. Now we see Tommy Wilson leaving as well earlier this offseason. These people who have helped construct the union into what they are and who had this great eye for talent for all these amazing players like we've seen so far, it's one of those things where you kind of hold your breath for the next – because you're not going to see it immediately. This is not going to be an immediate impact move that we're going to say, okay, in 2025 we see how this was either a great move or a bad move. It's going to be 2030, 2031. That's you really begin to see how the development's changing with the union. And now just to bring up a few comments here, because everybody's kind of talking about Bariba. So he played 151 minutes, Jose. He played 5 games. He started 1. That's it.
Yeah, that's a very small sample size. And I know that we have some folks here who are very soccer minded. And we'll tell you firsthand that 150 minutes is very hard to make an assumption on anybody, but also makes you wonder, right? What happened in that home stretch of the season? Where was it really fitness? Was Ty really having that hard of a time getting incorporated into the squad? But you also cannot take the human element out of it, right? With everything that's going on with his home nation, or has been going on with his home nation, I should say. So a lot of different factors and some of them human that people don't want to accept, but certainly makes you wonder about the tactical side and in terms of, you know, fitting in and, you know, teammates or tactics, fitness, whatever it may be. I just wish him the best of luck. Obviously the team needs him to perform. He's making, what was it? I think it was $700,000 this year. Mm-hmm. So he's a bigger earner for the union. So he needs to come through and hopefully, you know, yeah, $710K was what he made last year, guaranteed. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens this year.
We have some interesting competition for Breebo, and Dan brings up the point of Anderson. I know he was the New York forward they brought back to the States. And if you saw, I think it was the press conference today or one of the, you know, the clips from the union today, how he's really seems to be fitting in pretty well with the union in camp so far. So now you think of what's going on up top. You have Uwa, you have Carranza still, at least until the summer. You have Chris Donovan, who has just got signed back, so he's going to be in the mix. You're going to have Anderson, and you're going to have Breebo. So you're going to have a lot of competition now for the top. I'm assuming then, with those moves in place, Quinn Sullivan's going to go into the eight position on the right hand of the diamond. I think everybody has said, I know, correct me if I'm wrong, Jose, Dupe on the Volley Pod, is that the name of the new show that came out? Jimmy King was on it. Paul was on it as well. Correct me if you guys are listening, correct me if I'm wrong. But they had mentioned it as well, you know, Quinn kind of being more comfortable in the back. I think a lot of people can agree with that. He probably will do better as a Bedoya replacement rather than somebody up top. So
can we get something out of the way?
Of course. Go ahead.
All right. For all of those that want to pronounce Marcus's old team correctly, I'm going to say it once, maybe twice. Okay. This is the third division Spanish team that Marcus Anderson joined us from.
Go ahead.
Rayo Majadahonda. Rayo Majadahonda.
I'm reading it in front of me. It looks pretty good.
Okay. So it's Rayo Majadahonda. So yeah, he's definitely a wild card. I mean, he played in the Cincinnati match that was live streamed earlier this week and looked absolutely fine. So yeah, I wonder where all these pieces fit in for the season. Yeah, Todd, can you leave this as a voice note? Yeah, for people to play during your podcast. Yeah, maybe it'll be a soundboard button for you. Yeah, it's interesting. And again, I think for the sake of this squad, the team and Jim says this over and over again, the team goes as far as the forwards go, right, in terms of scoring. But more importantly, the pressure that they provide, right, in terms of what Carranza can do off the ball, what Mikel Uwa can do off the ball to pressure defenders into making mistakes so Daniel can get a second ball, or Brujo gets just an easy air ball that someone just, you know, kicks out of desperation because they're being pressured. So I hope Ty is ready for it. I think that the team is gonna have a lot of challenges ahead, and especially when they haven't, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the US Open Cup, but if you replicate an exact schedule to last year, I'd be hard pressed to think that they do any better. And I think, was it Ali who said, yeah, fifth or sixth place finish. I'm honestly totally okay with that. If not expecting it, just sneak in and just be a tournament team. You know, there's supporter shields are great, but in this league, they absolutely do not matter, really.
I mean, look right? at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati went all out on the supporter shield, and granted, some of it was because they were good enough, and that's fair. But I personally don't put a lot of value behind the supporter shield. It's like, yeah, you were the best in the season, but it doesn't mean you get that star on your crest.
That's what I want, Jose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You and I have talked about it, right, in terms of our rankings last year, in terms of how we rank different tournaments. And I know I like the continental/international aspect of some of these tournaments in terms of CCC. And I know the much-hated Leagues Cup, because it's an international tournament. I like that. Mm-hmm. And MLS Cup would be next. Supporter Shield and US Open Cup, I don't know, people would probably think I'm nuts for saying that, especially a tournament that's over 150 years old. But if other teams are not going to take it seriously, why should the Union? That's the problem I see with it.
Todd says it's hard to take the Supporter Shield serious when it's on a balanced schedule. Ali says Leagues Cup is pointless. So this kind of goes back to the ranking we had last year. You know, what do fans want the most? I think I had mentioned as well, other people have, I know you probably have, MLS Cup is what we want the most. Second to me would be the CCC, the Champions Cup. I would put that behind the MLS Cup. But if we don't win the MLS Cup and we win the CCC, I'd be pretty happy with the season overall, just considering the magnitude it has But Lee's cup for me, it's nice, whatever. The shield, unless we were to win the cup as well, the shield just doesn't have – because we already did it, you know? It just doesn't have the same vibe to it as well. And some people have mentioned as well, with a fourth-place finish or even a fifth- or sixth-place finish, can we win the cup in fifth or sixth place? I think one of the biggest things we want to see this year is if they can improve on the road. If the Union can be road dogs and they can go out there and really fight, I would feel more comfortable being fourth or fifth or sixth place. I really would.
And you know, yeah, no, I was testing the XP. It does work. That's crazy. For the longest time, I kept on saying it doesn't work, but it works. Yeah. You know, to your point, Mike, and I see some other people rating their different tournaments. I say Leagues Cup because I like the competition against the Mexico. I'll be right there, Rafael, against the Mexican teams. But I also think about the players, and honestly, and I know people don't like to talk about this, and that's totally fine. But if you're a player and you're putting your body through all this, you want to be rewarded financially the way that makes you the most money. Every win that the Union had last year for Leagues Cup meant that they got $150,000 to split across the team. And then if they would have won the whole thing, they would have made $3 million, which is a lot more money than what the other competitions do. So it's difficult for me to not want the players to earn what they're worth.
Sure.
Especially when they play that much. But I also see where, you know, the tradition of 150 years of, you know, tournament in terms of the US Open Cup.
You muted. I mean, well, actually real quick, as you're kind of fixing the microphone there, for me, I also look at what would be the most impactful for the Union in terms of the perception of the team from the city. I think a lot of times fans want to say, well, the Union are part of that big four, the Flyers, the Sixers, the Phillies, the Eagles. I don't think the Union will actually get to that until we win the MLS Cup. Because frankly, if we win the Champions Cup, the Union fans are going to be excited. But will the city of Philadelphia be excited for us? Probably not, because half of them don't really understand the whole concept of the Champions Cup, or to Todd's point, the Club World Cup, because you have to sit there and you have to explain, you know, this whole thing to these non-soccer fans. Every time I'm at work, people are like, oh, the Union's still playing? What's this tournament? What does this make sense? For them, American non-soccer people say, did they win the cup, the MLS Cup? Yes or no? They didn't? Okay, they still kind of suck.
So, Mike, look no further than having to hear American fans of the NBA learn what the in-season tournament was and how it worked.
I know.
You remember the madness that was to listen to people. It's like, wait, so you're telling me these matches in the middle of the season don't count for the main record, but they count for this other competition that's folded in? It's like, yeah, that's soccer. Keep going, Mike. I'm going to get something for my kids super quick.
No, it's fine. I think the NBA is trying to get the excitement of soccer. I don't know if this is officially in the works yet. Somebody who knows basketball as well as I do, please chime in. The LA Clippers owner has mentioned having a wall behind one of the nets to essentially have this soccer type environment. I know we see sometimes from the foreign leagues having these Euro fans just go crazy in their stadiums, and it builds that soccer environment in a basketball stadium. If you look at college basketball, if you want to go to the Cameron Indoor or anywhere in these major blue blood arenas, the college fans are about as equal to soccer fans as you can get. We just don't have that in the NBA. And I think the NBA is trying to change the way fans enjoy the game, change the way fans see the game. Dan says Cameron is amazing. See, I feel like Dan is a good college basketball guy to talk to. If you ever see me at the tailgate, Dan, we got to talk.
Oh, my God. We're talking about this again. Holy shit.
But no, I think when you try to explain it to them, you know, for the NBA, they're trying to change the way people perceive it. But again, that's kind of a separate thing to a separate day. I thought the in-season tournament was cool, but they just want to make it more soccery, and I just don't think it's there. I don't think NBA fans care enough to be there yet, is my thing.
No, I don't think so either. And that's where the marketing has to come through, right? Like how do the Union themselves market this within the region of the Leagues Cup? Come and watch this team face another team that's not from this league but doesn't count towards its own league. Right. They just got to figure it out. So I don't know, man. I I still do want continental success, but at the expense, I think the union just has to be thoughtful about, and Matt George actually said this from the Delco Times during the end of season press conference and just flat out asked Jim, are you going to be, or do you feel like you've earned the right to be more choosy about the competitions you want to win? And I know last year I was very loud to you and to Dave of like, listen, when you haven't won anything, you have no right to be choosy. Then we went through a 55 game season and realized, holy smokes, had they just focused on one or two, it may have been a completely different story altogether, but who knows?
Well, it's a thing. Okay, so this is a great segue into what we should talk about today. And if people chime in the comments, please kind of share your thoughts on this topic. I did not feel like Jim Curtin properly used the depth that he had last year in terms of all the competition. We saw Andres Pereira basically disappear. We felt like Baribo clearly didn't get enough minutes. He only had 151 minutes. And it seemed like he just ran the players into the ground. I mean, we saw the Jacob Glessens injury late in the year as well. Maybe that had something to do with him playing endless minutes entirely. I'm hoping that this year Jim has a different approach into how he uses his roster and actually use the depth. Because the one good thing with our depth, and we didn't even mention your Bolivian brethren, Hamir Berdeschio as well on this roster. We have a lot of young players. Makanyana never played it as well, Dan. A great point. Matt Real barely played. We had so much young depth that we just did not use. I wonder if Curtin now uses that a lot more this season to alleviate these older players from these injuries who are playing just endlessly. Because maybe if we do that, we can finally get over that hump because we have the energy to do so. Go ahead, Jose.
Yeah, and man, and that's just it, right? Like, I'm really intrigued onto how the team focuses its efforts. Jim will tell us, and really any fan who approaches him, whether it's an Acme at Wawa or wherever in the city, or even at the stadium, if you run into him, he'll probably tell you he wants to win every single game, which is absolutely true. But when you think about the personnel and the rotation that needs to happen, I just don't see a world where a Glessness plays every single game without re-injuring himself with that hernia, right? Or an Alejandro Bedoya plays the minutes that he played the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting. And again, like, listen, we try to be as partial as we can, impartial, I should say, as we can. But ultimately, we care about this team and we want them to succeed because it makes covering the team fun. I can't imagine being Colorado last year, how difficult it must have been. to cover that team. But ultimately, man, like, it's gonna be a long season, and you and I and others who are in the press are here for it. We're still waiting to hear about press credentials, so who knows what happens in terms of that. But we're just, man, hoping for the best. It'll be so interesting to see how it goes.
You know, it's funny, a lot of people in the comments right now, we're gonna put Dan says Jim needs to learn to trust the new players quicker. I think that's a great point. How many times have we seen players come in, Dabo, for example, and he just doesn't trust them, and he just gets thrown to the bench and never sees any minutes. Dan mentioned you have to know when to rotate the squad. Steve mentions learn from past mistakes and learn to trust the bench 100%. I think one thing we saw last
year. Don't ever pick Steven again.
I never will.
Steven is a Cowboys fan.
Okay, Steve, you're off the show. Don't even talk to me anymore.
Bully hours. Gone. He's not joining again. He also works at Ursinus. I never want to see him again.
All right, bye, Steve. So one thing I've noticed last year that we didn't see from Jim the prior year was his break from the diamond, right? We said it's poor Stuart Findlay. He didn't get to enjoy three in the back like he should have.
Yes, that's a Todd Lewis comment right there.
That is 100% Todd Lewis comment. Shout out to the best podcaster from Maryland. So one thing I think that we saw last year was the fact that Jim finally said, okay, I'm going to switch the formation up. And he had some luck doing that. I think this year, the next evolvement of Jim Curtin has to be the use of rotation, has to be the subs. I know Eric jokes about it all the time that Bedoya is going to play 17,000 minutes. That has to be put to bed. I want Eric at the end of the year to say, oh my God, Bedoya was used correctly. That's what my goal is for this year, is to see Eric happy at the end of the year. But no, I think it's a great point. I think you do have to, Jim has to evolve and he has to trust these players. You don't have a bad roster. You have some really good talent on here. I mean, look at Odata. Look what he's doing overseas. We didn't touch the kid. It's to these points, and everybody's saying this, trust the players. But go ahead, Jose.
Listen, all I want to say is that, you know, I have no information. I haven't even begun digging, but maybe that's the next project. What's going to happen with Odata? Is he going to be a midseason reinforcement because the loan runs out? Like, I don't know. We have no idea. So it'd be great to have another midfielder suddenly pop up and fit, you know, with fitness in the middle of the season. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I still stand by what I said, right? I still want that continental success, but man, being almost at the pinnacle of it all, 2 minutes away, a Gareth Bale away from winning the whole thing, and finally having that first star above the crest, technically the 14th, because it has the 13 stars for the colonies on the shield itself. But like, to have that first MLS Cup star, that would have been incredible, man. That would have been freaking incredible. And it just did not happen. And now we're just, you know, they tried it again without any major investment and it just didn't work. And if ownership did not see that that was the right time to dump in some money for someone that could just come in and do it, I have a hard time feeling that this is the year. Though I would love to be, and I think a lot of people, thousands of people, would be pleasantly surprised to see a bang out year from a Marcus Anderson or a Ty Bariba, who again feels like a brand new player. So listen, I think we're just very excited for what's coming on Tuesday. Maybe we shift wheels to talking about Saprissa super quick and maybe just share with people what we have cooking Monday, but I'll turn it over to you.
Real quick before we do start that, I did not expect this to be this high or this low rather, but I'm going to share the gambling perspective on the MLS Cup. Because listen, I mean, I feel like the books have a good idea on things. They do this all the time. So Inter Miami is at plus 250 to win the entire MLS Cup. I think that's ridiculous, but it is what it is. The 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth best odds, or I guess, you know, most likely to win the MLS Cup is the Union. They're plus 1600 on FanDuel. I know you saw plus 1400 on, I think it was DraftKings, right? So according to FanDuel and these sports books, the Union are fairly favored to win the MLS Cup. So they're seeing something that we're not seeing, maybe. I mean, and again, Jose, we can transition now to the Champions Cup on Tuesday. And Dan mentions players like CJ Olney. So let's talk about the Champions Cup. We're playing Saprissa. This time we're traveling there with fans in the stands. We wouldn't have that last time around. If you guys remember that Saprissa matchup from way back when, that's a match that Kai Wagner just got annihilated and the whole ruckus ensued.
So is that also when Mbiza lost a tooth?
Mbiza lost a tooth at Azteca, I think. No, maybe. No, was it?
Todd, somebody on the chat, tell me when Mbiza lost a tooth, because that was comical. That was, I mean, I'm sure it hurt, but like for him to just like spit out a tooth was just crazy.
Eric's saying I'm calling for MLS Cup this season, and Eric says Club America was tooth. I think I'm going to place a bet right now live on the show that the Union are going to win the MLS Cup. I think I'm going to do it. Go ahead, Jose, as you talk about your preview for Saprissa here.
Yeah, so we're going to touch on it super lightly right now, just maybe do a quick rundown. But my hope is to, on Sunday or Monday, I'm actually recording with someone who is extremely knowledgeable Costa Rican soccer. He's going to get on a Zoom call with me. We're going to record a quick 15-20 minute segment previewing the match, both in terms of the Union, but also hey, buddy, you want to say hi? Go ahead, say hi.
Hi.
I mean, he stole the show. I can't even follow that up. We're done.
He actually said the cutest thing, and this is a sidebar and a side for everybody. He said, "Daddy, I love it when you do podcasts."
Kids are the best. It's like, I don't even think you know what, like this, right? Like the little dad stuff. It's the best. Go ahead.
He doesn't even know what a podcast is. He just knows that me talking to people on a video call is a podcast. So I'm doing a lot of podcasts during the day for work. But anyways, we'll have someone who's a specialist in Saprissa and knows about it talk with us on Sunday or Monday. But just to give you guys a quick rundown, Saprissa, does have a, gosh, a fairly strong team. They actually just brought on some good players like Luis Diaz, who is a free agent out of Colorado. So that's an MLS player who's coming in. And again, looking at transfer market, which isn't the end all be all, but it's a good starting spot. That Diaz guy is worth 1.5 million euros, which is a sizable amount for some of these players, especially sure. within the union. So I think more importantly, the thing that's going to be the biggest difference this time around is the environment. And oh, Jim
agreed.
Spoke about it in the press conference. Was it before Cincinnati that sort of surprised, hey, we're having a press conference the day before at like 1 p.m. and mentioned like, yeah, I'm telling these guys, this is going to be very different than just a game mid COVID where there is nobody in the stands. And this is going to test that team. Though you could argue, considering that the spine of this team has been around for this long, if this team went through Copa America, Club America, yeah. home and away, this team should be able to do it. Obviously, the result wasn't, you know, great against Club America, but in terms of noise, they were able to deal with it. So hopefully, I'm excited for the match. Everybody, programming note, broadcasting starts at 10, kickoff is at 10:06. So if you want to, for Tuesday, get yourself a nice drink, get situated, 10:06 kickoff time on FS2. So long way to say, guys, we will have myself and this guest who's going to join me on Sunday or Monday. We'll be putting something out probably Monday or Tuesday morning for all of you to enjoy. So keep an eye out on our social feeds or even the YouTube page for that upload and enjoy something more in depth. But this Saprissa team is very different from what the Union experienced a few years ago. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's a romp of 7-0 away at Saprissa, and then they can just put the Marcus Andersons of the world and the Nick Parianos in the middle. But like, I just don't see how it becomes that easy of a ride.
So real quick, I know you mentioned getting a drink. So I'm gonna bring up Dan's comment. He mentions my Zed's beer cap. I also am from the Marlton area, Dan, originally from Cherry Hill. So if you're in Zed's one day, hit me up. I'll meet you there.
Hey, let me just say this about Zed's while we're doing the sponsor. They're not sponsoring us, but yeah. I want to share with everybody. Zed's, the owner of Zed's, was ready to send me out to Florida for the preseason match, was happy to cover the entire bill so everybody could get good coverage of the team. Unfortunately, the match producers out in Florida did not come through with my credential up until 8 a.m, the day of the match, and it was the match against Flamengo. So I just want to be very clear with all of you guys. We're not sponsored by Zed's, but that type of commitment to independent reporting mm-hmm. is incredible. So mm-hmm. if you ever find yourself at Zed's, go and find, it's Lori, correct?
Lori White and her husband, Jeff, Zed's. I wear them all the time. I literally just bought a 4-pack from them tonight. for my pop. So I love Zed's. They're great people. I go there all the time. They're awesome. I wish they would have given you the credential to really be able to promote them more. I know I inadvertently do that every single time I'm on the show. I just love them. They're good people. Great place
to go. They're incredible. So make sure you if you can stop there. I know they are also supporters of the Sons of Ben, I believe.
They're in the Sons of Ben like watch party committee, yeah. whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so support them if you get a chance. Again, we don't receive a cent from them. No. We just genuinely, honestly, after telling Mike that they were more than happy to send me to Florida and back on their dime for a good reporting of the match, I am, and to be completely fair too and transparent, they've offered to do it for a couple of matches during the season. So there might be an away game here and there, obviously with dad duties. Got to make sure I plan that out. But ultimately, Zed's incredible company in terms of their generosity towards independent reporting. I was amazed and incredibly thankful for that.
I agree. So as we continue, because there's a couple questions about the game coming up here that I want to touch. So I know Kyle's mentioning Caesars at +1400, MGM has +1500, Circa as well. DB says FanDuel has the best odds. I agree. So I put a $30 bet down. It's right there.
You guys are all such degenerates.
I am a degenerate. $30 bet pays out $505 on plus 1600 on FanDuel. You saw it here first, Eric. If they win the cup, I'm buying you a drink, Eric. That's the deal that we're making here. That's the ad sets. That's the thing. And Eric's a South Jersey guy like myself. So one question here they have is, do we play for a draw away or try to bury them at home? That's an excellent point, especially with CONCACAF being chaotic. We remember the dog from last year, the lost tooth, the fights, etc. Do you play scared, Jose, and play for the draw? Or do you kind of go for it a bit and do like the Atlas approach where you just kind of had the best possible evening and you pulled out a tie?
I think this team is going to genuinely go for it away from home, and here's why, right? Okay. Yes, they have a home opener against Chicago, but you got to remember the man who will not be available for Chicago, which is Kai Wagner. He would be serving his suspension from last year, his final game suspension from the Bobby Wood incident. So having Kai on that lineup, if it's going to be Kai, I can't imagine that it wouldn't be Kai at left back. But having Kai in the lineup does inherently make you a heck of a lot more attacking in terms of crossing and build up and getting out from the back, that I just envision that they'll go for it. I don't see how a team sits back on the very first game of their season, even if it is a home and away type of situation. Obviously only 7 days away and a match in between. But I just don't know that the team sits back and holds back, though. I'm also intrigued to see the faces, and again, such an early test in terms of rotation. I wish that the Union would have played their match maybe a week ago, kind of like the Whitecaps did and some of those other MLS teams, to sort of just get that out of the way. But ultimately, I just don't see how they sit back for their very first game of the entire season. These guys are going to be, meaning that the Union players are going to be very excited to be out there. I think it's going to be a lot of rust, a lot of passes a yard or two away and not maybe reading one another's cues, despite having been together for, at this point, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks. I can't remember. Like it's going to be a little choppy, but ultimately I just don't see how they sit back. What do you think?
I agree. I'm bringing up Valerie's comment because she named her cat after Bobby Wood. So, Valerie, if you want to name it after me, I give you full permission. Please, I'll be happy to meet Mike one day. I think the rust of not really having that game time experience this year is a little worrisome for me as well. Like you said, it's only been about 6-7 weeks. Granted, the offseason wasn't very long as well, so that kind of, again, puts kind of a weird thought in my mind about how they're going to approach it. But I think you kind of have to set the tone for the season right off the bat. You have to enter this season really just looking to beat the crap out of everybody. If you want to go back to last year, Jillian's comment where she just kind of want to say, I want to throttle people, right? We didn't see that last year. No, I say that as a joke, right? But it's true. We did not beat anybody convincingly last year. And I think we need to start the season saying, you know what? We're not going to be afraid to go down a goal in at Saprissa. We're going to go out and we're going to try to do as best as we can to set the tone for the year and set the tone for the competition. And to just put it across the roster, this is going to be a brand new Union. Even if it's the same players. And even if people aren't as excited as we could be, it's a new team, new year. That's how my approach is. I think they have to. I don't think they have a choice. But now whether they do or not, that's a different story.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, you know, Philadelphia Union transfer market. And again, this is not like scientific, but you know, Saprissa has an overall market value of $7.48 million. According to Transfer Market, which I'm trying to get there, detailed, has a value of 53 million euros. Both euros. So the difference being, you know, 7.48 million euros versus 53.83. So again, if we go off of the values, the Union should just really walk through this. But obviously, we know that that's not how the game is played. So I really do hope that this team is able to figure it out and put a cohesive win. But man, that Chicago game really puts a difficult knot in the middle of the entire thing, right? Because it's going to be the first game of the season. The fans are going to be cold because it's supposed to be 34 degrees or so. Though if you show up to the tailgate and you're a Sons of Ben's member, that's $12, which is $2 more than last year, but that's okay. Inflation, it is what it is. Show up, enjoy yourselves, and then go to the game. It's difficult to see how Jim doesn't try to put up a performance for that home game too. So to turn around and then played what the following Tuesday, like that's a lot.
It's a short and a lot of flying too. On top of that,
yes, a lot of flying. So yeah, I hope that again we throttle this team so hard the first game that the second game is really more of just like a just a formality more than anything.
And so, Eric, I'm going to bring up Eric's point. He mentions a 2020 LAFC match. It's an interesting point Eric brings up because not only was that match kind of our validation that we could play with the big boys of the league, but that was also the match that Jose Martinez really kind of arrived. That was the match that Jacob Glesnes had his screamer, right? That's kind of, again, the Norwegian center back with a rocket to kind of just hush the crowd up. I'm wondering this year, who is that Jose Martinez? Who is that player who's going to take it the next level? We saw Bueno be that last year. Can I say McGlynn as that player this year? Is he been around for too long to say that he's the next one to really take it to the next level? Because I think we've seen glimpses of it so far. I think in his U.S. national performance, he played well.
He did.
Can we see McGlynn be, a formidable midfielder this year? To really like change the way this team plays. And I think Dan brings up Jack Zex. It's one of those things where I think he's due. That's my vibe at least.
This might be a bold prediction, but I am very much of the thought that Jack McGlynn may be actually playing himself into Copa America instead of the Olympics. I think he's a sure bet for the Olympics, but I think if his performances are very good to start MLS and then, you know, the national team has this game now. When is it? Chat, let me know. They have a friendly that just announced against Colombia. I don't know. I could really see Jack McGlynn being one of those, you know, potentially playing his way into the I don't know, Copa America. It is a stretch, Ali. I completely understand that, but I think he's definitely a sure bet for the Olympics, but I don't see how he sticks around with the Union for too long. Jim has praised him so much to the point that he's even gone to say, I could see him playing in these leagues, and that's what I would suggest to him. So like Jack is probably sitting there thinking like, okay. And yeah, there were matches where he was not really at his best. And I think one LAFC game last year was one of them, right? Playing with the big dogs was tough in that specific match. I think it was really windy that game too. I can't remember. But I do believe that he is going to be an incredible player, and he already is at his age. So I don't know. I'm intrigued onto what the, I don't know how long he stays with the Union. Hopefully it's not for too long, because I really do think that he has bigger and better things ahead of him. And I'm excited. August 10th, I'll actually be out in Rhode Island watching his brother Connor take on Hartford Athletic, which is Union 1.5.
I'll say, what is it at this point? Cincinnati's 2.0. So what's Hartford at this point?
Dude, I don't even know, man. All the different names and faces. So I got to get in touch with the Rhode Island people and the Hartford people to maybe line up some interviews. But I'll be out in Rhode Island for that match, which I'm excited about. But yeah, I wonder where Jack fits in and how long he sticks around. I reckon the rest of the season, but gosh, stranger things have happened. I never imagined that Paxton Arison was going to depart when he did.
Yeah, and that's, you know, speaking of, we can wrap up the show soon too. I think we should discuss the lineup that we're going to look at for next week for Tuesday. Some people have talked about three in the back. I know Jim has mentioned being more comfortable on the road with a diamond. He's mentioned that a few times over last year. What's your lineup for that first match against Saprissa?
Dude, I don't even want to try, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I think you could see a lot of what we saw against Cincinnati, barring some faces joining for the full 90, right? Glesnes being one of them. I don't see how the team feels comfortable. Or maybe it is a game where they feel comfortable because they're confident that... just a second, Raphael. Are you all done?
Yeah.
Okay, then you can go throw it away. Thank you.
In the trash?
In the trash. In the trash. Thank you.
Smart.
There's no more. He wants another ring pop. There's not another ring pop this late at night, I'll tell you that. It's Friday, so bear with me, all of you parents who are probably judging that I gave my kid a ring pop at 9 o'clock in the evening.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine the team starts off with a three on the back, but stranger things have happened. I'm more intrigued on what happens on the right side. I'm convinced that it's going to be Jack on the left, and the right side, I would think it's Bueno.
Yes, I was hoping you're going to say Bueno, because I don't think Bedoya can play yet. I don't think he's – is he fit enough to play? He's only been there for half a preseason.
Yeah, I mean, he joined the second phase, right? What was it? I had shared my report the Friday the week before, and then a week and a half later, he was with the team finally. So I don't know how it – as Dan says, I was about to say that. I don't know how it is not Bueno. Brand new contract, extended, secured and locked in. I just don't see how it's not Bueno or who else it would be. But that's the position I'm looking at. I know it's going to be Carranza and Ua at the top. Jim has praised Ua for the shape that he has come in, despite, you know, missing some preseason with getting his green card. We know it's going to be Carranza because we're just trying to squeeze as much out of that lemon before it goes, whether it's for free or for some money, who knows. And then you have Gazdag at the 10. Left of the diamond will be McGlynn with Flock out. The right side, again, I think it's Bueno, Brujo Martinez, and then Kai. And again, the right back position is another interesting one.
Harriel. It would have to be Harriel.
I would think so. I mean, this entire preseason, he has been throwing balls in there. He has been and successfully taking shots, assisting, I think even scoring himself. Did he score one during preseason? So, I can't remember.
So can we – that's a great segue to my next point, I think. If last year, Kyle Almaney, my boy, right, him and I were very pro-Olivier. That did not work out the way we wanted to. So I think this year we need to see Nathan become what we thought Olivier was going to be last year. Get a couple assists, put a couple goals in the back of the net. I think when we saw them side by side, Olivier has some of that footwork and Nathan does not have. But Harriel's just such a threat on set pieces. And then Todd has exposed Kyle for his horrible take. Listen, Todd, I'm trying to be nice. It's a Friday night. You know, I'm doing what I can, Todd. No, I think that we need to see Harriel get more time so that way we can get those set pieces just be even more dangerous than they already have been with Glesnes and Elliot and Damien in the middle. But I want to see Nathan there, and I want to see how him and Bueno play on the right side of the diamond there. And you know what? Also, with Bueno and Jose Martinez, I wouldn't mind them switching at times in the game. And Martinez doing what Dave has been preaching for years, using that speed and that intensity and taking man up. I mean, look, we saw that. What was that one play this past year, where he went up the right-hand side and had the assist for whatever it was, for one play. I think it was Julian. To maybe use them kind of interchanging in the diamond a bit. Because you can't do that with Bedoya. You just simply can't. You can't put Bedoya back at the six and let Jose really run up every single time. You can do that Bueno because he's formidable at the six. So I want to see Harriel. I think he's earned it. But again, to Todd's point, Olivier has CCC experience, and maybe that trumps logic. And that's a different ballgame.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. I think Harriel will be very, very good this year. And I think last year's, for as much as people rag on Leagues Cup, Harriel and Bueno are perfect examples of people who took – or players, I should say, who took that tournament in Leagues Cup, took that month to really cement themselves as the future of the Philadelphia Union in terms of, what was it? Did Harriel have two or three goals in that month?
Yeah. Bueno had like what, a goal or two assists, whatever.
Bueno was scoring his penalty kicks from the different shootouts, as well as just going out there running, assisting. I know he scored against Monterrey in the very quick early start. So like, yeah, I'm really, really excited for those two. But when you look at the overall picture as we wrap up, Mike, as we crossed an hour 10 between just you and I, God knows how long we would have gone with Dave here. It wouldn't be across the pitch without going over an hour.
An hour and 10. That's not bad.
Not bad. When you look at the cohesive picture, you wonder, you know, there are a lot of exciting pieces, but can they just put all of those together and just make it happen over a 50 plus game season? Who knows? You know, like, gosh, imagine if that team would have gone further in the US Open Cup instead of just, you know, out one and out.
I hear you, man. I do. But listen, we have a lot of to look forward to. You have your interview on Monday with the Saprissa podcaster, right?
Yeah.
That's what we look forward to. On Tuesday night for the match, I will be at Brauhaus Schmitz for the watch party.
Yes, you will, because you're young.
Anything that I'm not aware of right now. If you're in Philly, go to Brauhaus. I think our friend Elvia is going to be there. I think she asked Jimmy King to make an appearance as well. So if you're there, please stop in, say hello. And then next Saturday, I'll be at the game, and that's it.
I'll be at the game with another 17 of my friends on Saturday, so that should be a lot of fun. I'm not going to announce what's coming quite yet, but if everything goes to plan outside of the Monday release for the interview with the conversation with Eddie, who Todd shared his full name with me. I didn't realize his last name, Eddie Mendez. The guy who knows Costa Rican soccer so well. I might have a surprise for everybody on Tuesday. Breaking news, but an exciting little feature type of thing. Some people know about it who are in the chat, but I think if you enjoy the side stories I like to tell and the context and the fleshing out of things, if everything goes to plan, I might have a neat little story that you all can read either right before kickoff or at halftime. So if you follow me, if you don't follow me, I should say on Twitter, it's right underneath here. Give it a follow. And yeah, there we go. 140 Eric. Yes. Give it a follow. I think it's exciting. I think people will like it. Those that know about it, Mike, you know about it.
Probably. I'm hoping my brain is just dead. Yeah. Today, so
no, you know about it. I think you'll enjoy it. People would enjoy it. So if it all goes to plan, so keep an eye out on that. But ultimately, all season, and I think this goes without saying, if you see us at the tailgate, if you see us at the stadium, if we're hopping, moving, make sure you say hello to us. We want to meet you. We want to say hello. I always joke with people, I'm your friendly neighborhood reporter. Like I like to think that, you know, I'm one of all in terms of, you know, supporting this team, but ultimately I also like to ask tough questions and do the reporting you all want to hear about. So please be excited. Reach out to us, see us, reach out on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Mike has his credentials on there. Mike Barrera, both on TikTok and Twitter. Jose R. Nunez 91 on Twitter. Find us at the game on Saturday. We will not be in Costa Rica, but we will, however, be sharing some more content in the coming days and certainly throughout the year. I'm really excited. I think that the fan base that followed us was incredibly kind with the content we put out last year, and I can't wait to see how they like the stuff that we have planned for them this year and what we've put out over the past 2 months already.
Oh, I love it. So first of all, let's thank the people tonight. Friday night, Eric, Jillian, Kyle, Todd, not Steve Fuentes. Don't thank
Steve Fuentes. Eric, I hope
Valerie,
you exited.
Dan, I'm probably missing somebody. Everybody who joined tonight, I appreciate it for stopping by and saying hello. DB, just Ali, all you guys. I appreciate it. All the feedback, great content and comments tonight. We are across the pitch. As Jose said, he is Jose R. Nunez 91. He also has a Substack now, so check his stuff out as well. I'm Mike Barrera, mbarrera1323 on TikTok and Twitter. TikTok, will be revamped starting on the Tuesday match at Saprissa, or you know, at Saprissa at Brauhaus. Take a couple videos, a couple pictures, throw it together, post it on there as well. Besides that, we will, once the season starts, we should be every Monday night, 8:45 p.m. Because of Dave Miller's schedule being what it is, we will occasionally have a Friday evening show to just spare him the endless insomnia that is his life being in England. But besides that, we'll, to Jose's point, you see me at the tailgate, you better crack open a cold one with me and have a beer. Because as our buddies know, the Almanys, for example, Todd, I can put them down. I might be little, but I can put them down. I promise you that. So, again, this is Across the Pitch. Thank you guys for joining us for an hour and 20 minutes of your night. Go Union.
Go Union.